podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Still having a look. It slightly favours the right footer here, but Griffiths, having got the goal, goes again.
Quick five and tries it, don't know.
Well, welcome to the Hampden Roar podcast with me, Andy Barge. Now, you might be thinking, hold on a minute, we've just previewed this week's game against Turkey. Well, you might remember a few months ago we recorded a great episode with Graham Brown of the Hampden Collection and Lindsay Hamilton of Glasgow's Walking Football Tour, which explained the significance of Scots and the way football was spread and taken all across the world. Now, this month is an important one because on St Andrew's Day this year, it'll be the 150th anniversary of the first ever international football match, which was between Scotland and England, and it was 0-0 at the West of Scotland Cricket Ground in the Partick area of Glasgow. So I think this anniversary is quite the cause for celebration. So we're doing a special podcast about what the Hampden Collection team are planning over the next wee while, and I'm delighted to be joined by Graham Brown from the team, along with Barry Kirk, who is in there with them, and Dr. Fiona Skillen, a senior lecturer in history at Glasgow Caledonian University. Guys, this is a chock-a-block podcast. Very weird to have four active screens here. It's usually just the three of us at a push. So really looking forward to getting stuck into this. We'll come to you first, Graham. You were just telling me there this is a very busy time for you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Andy, for having us on. Yes, it has been 5 years in the making. Ever since set up the Hampden Collection, there has been a countdown clock on the Hampden Collection website, which used to read 4 years, 9 months to go to the 150th anniversary of international football. And that now reads 16 days. So we've come a long way in over 4 years, and everything's been geared up to the 150th anniversary of international football. And of course, the World Cup kicks off on Sunday. And so it's only apt that it moved to the winter. Because as we've talked before, Scotland invented international football because it organised game number one.
And I remember we were speaking last time as well, Graham, it could have been so apt if we'd qualified, because our group game against England would have been the day before the exact 150th anniversary, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been 149 years, 364 days after the first time we played them, which would have been... the stars would have aligned, but it wasn't to be. And Wales instead have got that honour to play that game on the day before the 150th anniversary.
Enough modern day anguish. Let's get stuck into some nostalgia instead, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Fiona, we'll come to you quickly as well before we move on, because there's a lot of significance here around the first Women's International in 1881, which is being celebrated in amongst all this. Is that right?
Yeah, there is. So the first Scotland-England match was in 1881. And then obviously fast forward to 1972, we have the first officially recognised Women's International match between England and Scotland. So it's the 50th anniversary of that this year as well. So really significant to celebrate both of those things, because often we imagine that women's football is something that's a kind of modern phenomenon, perhaps started sort of in the 90s. Mm. But in actual fact, in Scotland, we can trace it back to 1628, women playing football.
Well, let's talk about the events that you've got coming up then. Barry, feel free to chime in here along with Graham, because I think this is your playground here, really. Now, a lot is coming up. The first event, we'll get this podcast out before the first event to give people the heads up of what's going on over the next wee while. So Thursday this week, that's Thursday the 17th, there's something special going on, Graham, at Clydesdale Cricket Club. What can you enlighten us about that?
Yes, so the first question you have to ask yourself, Andy, is why was the first international football match at a cricket ground? Now, a lot of people will do Hamilton Crescent, they'll think Partick, it's a brilliant pub quiz question, and they'll sit there and they'll go, we know that. But they ask the next question is, why was it at West? And basically what the Clydesdale event is to explain is the roots between cricket and football and how far back they go. One of the other Hampden Collection team is Richard Young, and he wrote a brilliant book called As the Willow Vanishes. And if I were to say that seven of the eight founding members of the SFA were in fact cricket clubs, you might go, eh? And then if we were to ask the next question, which is if you asked how many of the 16 football clubs that participated in the first Scottish Cup, 13 of them were cricket clubs. And just the amount of cricket clubs in the west of Scotland. So there was over 1,700 in the Glasgow area. Wow. Between about 1860 and 1914. So that event is all about the cricket to football links and the fact that the West Clydesdale Cricket Club is the forgotten Hampden. So you've heard the tour about first, second and third Hampden. But in between first and second, Queen's Park played at the Clydesdale Cricket Club and they hosted a team called Aston Villa in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. And Queen's Park murdered them 6-1. And a lot of people go, we didn't know that, because they probably didn't know that Queen's Park participated in the FA Cup for a number of years. So Clydesdale Cricket Club is that venue. It's the forgotten Hampden because Queen's Park played there for a year, and we're going to tell that story in the first event.
Well, Barry, without turning too many pages of that story in the podcast, obviously want to save it for the main event. In that game then, which I think it was in 1884, would that have featured the guys that then took football around the world from Scotland? Am I right or wrong in suggesting that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Graham will have more of a detailed knowledge of that than me.
If you look at Aston Villa, Andy, that team that came up, people don't realise that Aston Villa... They might go, there's a lion rampant sitting on the badge. And when you look at that and you go, oh, wait a minute, there was a few Scottish guys involved in that. And then you have the founder of the Football League down in England, was a guy called William McGregor from Braco, who was the president or the chair of Aston Villa Football Club. So the links between Aston Villa and... Scotland, where that there was a whole bunch of Scottish professors that were already embedded in there. And actually, the really funny part, and I was only speaking to Richard earlier on, when Aston Villa came up, they went, we've got a few Scottish players, we're going to do over Queen's Park, we'll make a big thing of it. And they found an invincible Queen's Park squad near enough, and they got murdered 6-1. But I think the whole thing around the Scottish professors and taking it to the world is can near enough go to that, but that is one of those matches. And Barry and I have stood beside the mural. The other one is obviously the 5-1 game in First Hampden. But you know, these games, that period was where football was starting to explode.
Well, Barry, you're the comms guy for the Hampdeners team, so sell this to us then. What's going on on Thursday 17th. Is it not an invite-only event, but what will the people that are attending be able to experience?
Probably the biggest shock of their lives. I think when people hear what they're going to be told about the origins of football, I think it's not just going to be confined to the group that will be finding it out. I think once it actually starts to spread, people will be asking a lot of questions, and I imagine there'll be a lot of people thinking that's a load of rubbish, but it's not. I mean, it was all part of the culture back in those days. The sporting culture was very much a cricket one. And it goes to when you think about it, it makes sense that the cricket players had to stay fit during winter. There was a big piece of land. Cricket doesn't really fit with the Scottish winter very well. And that's where it started to develop, and people started to think this is actually quite a good game. We like this, and it took off from there. I think people will be walking away. In the evening on Thursday, thinking, what the hell just happened there?
Yeah, certainly enlightened. I think anyone that attends will have their eyes opened more than just slightly. Well, that's this Thursday. Next Thursday is also an invitation only event at Hampden. Now, Graham, from when we've spoken about this, you seem very giddy about it. So this is what seems to be maybe the main event. Am I right or wrong in saying that? And can you tell us what is going on at Hampden on Thursday 24th?
Yeah, so it's a massive event because we're in the middle of Scotland's greatest collection of football history. So we're in the Hall of Fame. We've got fantastic speakers, and we're talking about the first half, which is the birth of the men's game, and then the second half is the birth of the women's game. We have some amazing people coming along to hear that story. Some of it is their own story, which is great, especially some of the pioneers of 1972 that will be there. But it will really showcase why it's important that these anniversaries are celebrated. This is all under our banner of Football 150, because there's a whole bunch of 150ths coming up. This one is the first main one, which is the international football match. And it's important to us because it really brings together so many people that have been involved over the last 5 years, who've participated in what the Hampden Collection has been about, and gets to showcase it. And we've, you know, and it's a brilliant agenda. We've got poetry in there. We've got the men's game, the women's game. We've got the archaeology team bringing along their finds from first and second Hampden. It'll really showcase what you can do with this history in terms of what we've done so far, the excitement ahead, and start to really explain what Football Square Mile is about, because really that's the launch pad for everything UNESCO and everything that we're trying to do. So it brings all those people together. And again, they are invite-only events, but they're the people there that will go and tell this story to all the people that they know. And just like yourself, Andy, it's really important that people get this through lots and lots of different channels, because people are starting to wake, back to Barry's point, people are starting to wake up to the Scotch professors. Some of my story that will go in that event is, up until 5 years ago, no one was talking about the three Hampdens. And I don't think, you know, the Hampden Roar podcast, you know, and even me, you know, if we go back far enough, it's one Hampden. But that's already cemented in. Now we're building on top of it.
It's funny you mention that. Obviously, you'll know, or you'll remember from the last podcast, that my flatmate is Argentine. So he's aware of the impact, really, that the Scottish professors had, specifically in his home country, let alone across the world. And one of my close mates, Kieran, has just started reading a book called Angels with Dirty Faces. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's about it's the footballing history of Argentina. And pretty much the entire first chapter is about the Scots taking football over there and implementing our style and the way that we played the game in comparison to them in their own continent, and how that really kick-started and changed things for Argentine football. And we were having a laugh, not that I or we are trying to claim any sort of responsibility for this whatsoever, but isn't it mad that football started to change there because of people that came from here, and probably the two greatest players that ever lived are from that country?
I think people cannot believe there's a guy called Alexander Watson Hutton comes out the Gorbals and is considered the father of Argentine football. I think more people in Argentina know that Scotch professor story than people in Scotland. I think that is, I've now spoke to so many people who've got Argentinian pals, and they turn round and say, "Do you know the Scottish story?" And they go, "Of course we do." But you go up to 95% or 99% of people that attend Hampden, they wouldn't know that story.
Well,
Fiona, that's what we're trying to change.
Yeah, well, hopeful, and I'm sure it'll work, because it sounds like a great event. And Fiona, you're speaking at it as well. And I can't help but notice the date here. So the first official international of the women's game was in 1972, which is 100 years after the first men's international. Is that a coincidence, or was it particularly arranged for a century after the first men's one?
No, it was most definitely a coincidence, because at this point, when we're thinking back to 72, women were still banned in Scotland from playing football, so the SFA still had their ban in place. The ban had been lifted in every other European country, and so we have this kind of weird situation where we have the first recognised international between England and Scotland women's teams, and the English team is recognised and they have some facilities and you know money and so forth. I mean, not in huge quantities. I don't want to overplay it, but certainly more than the Scottish team had. They had to take out a provi loan cheque in order to get strips and all that kind of stuff. And they end up playing in this, you know, sort of small stadium down in Ravenscraig because they can't get access to any of the other bigger stadiums because they're still banned. And then it takes until 1919 for those women to start getting caps for actually, you know, the recognition for playing in that match. So it's really significant for women's football. It's a real kind of beacon of the modern game. But it's one that has, until very recently, been largely overlooked. So it's so important that we're celebrating that as well when we have our event at Hampden on the 24th.
So is your portion of the evening very much focused on the years between 81 and 1972, rather than the ensuing progression after that?
There will be some of the modern game will be touched on, but yes, what we're trying to do is shine a light on that forgotten history. So people are more comfortable and more familiar with the modern history and the modern achievements of the women's team and the women's organisations. They are less familiar with that early history from the Victorian period through the 20th century up to 72 and then the lifting of the ban in 74. So most of the discussion, I think, will be around those key points. And we're also, as Graham mentioned, we're going to have some of the 72 team actually in the audience, which is
Oh,
going to be
brilliant.
wonderful. So it's going to be great to you know celebrate them as well on the night.
Yeah, isn't it crazy that that's only less than 50 years ago all that nonsense was happening?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I talk to my students about this, they're all flabbergasted that not only were women banned, and I say banned in inverted commas because nobody stopped them playing, they just made it exceptionally difficult for them to play and play legitimately, couldn't get access to certain facilities. Couldn't get registered referees to, you know, officiate their games and so forth. So the students that I talk to are blown away by the fact A, there was a ban in the first place, and B, that it went on for so long and so embarrassing that Scotland, when all the other nations voted in favour of lifting this ban, Scotland was the only one out of the 31 members of UEFA that said, we're not playing ball, we're not recognising the women's game, and they held out for another 3 years till 74.
Yeah, not
Sure.
something to be proud of, is it really?
No.
Graham, you mentioned when you were enticing us about this event next Thursday that there will be archaeologists there. Will they have actual tangible objects and stuff that they have found during their digs at this event?
So imagine, right? Imagine the world's first purposefully built international football ground. And if you're there, you get to touch the wire that went around the ground. Beer bottles that were smashed, that were found on in the ground. And if you've ever wanted to see a bath tile from the bottom of Cathkin Park, the red and white Third Lanark bath tiles that they found underneath the pavilion, that's what these guys found last summer. So you have pieces of proper heritage
Yeah.
from the original grounds, you know, from first Hampden, and then from the demise of Cathkin Park, where Third Lanark played up to 1967. You know, these guys are bringing those along, so you can actually they're actually say, and this is, so you, it's proper tangible evidence that these guys found. And I remember the day when they started finding this stuff, because they were literally, it was literally. You know, metal detecting, you know, very much better now. It was ground penetrating sonar, radar to try and find pieces that they could really dig down. And they kept talking about the money trench, Graham. And I was like, what's that? And they're like, oh, well, here's the, we're hoping to find some of the foundations of the original pavilion. But on their way down, they got right underneath what was the tennis courts that used to sit on Kingsley Rose Garden. So they know they'd gone beneath that. And then they found buried treasure, which was all these artifacts that had laid under there for over 140 years. And you
Oh,
get to go and see them.
yeah. No,
Yeah.
it sounds excellent. I'm really looking forward to it. The event generally sounds great, but that's not the last one. That's only two of the four we've discussed. So why don't we head on to the event that's on Wednesday the 30th, which is on the actual anniversary on St Andrew's Day, and that's going to be at the Pavilion in the West of Scotland's cricket ground. I believe that's where everything is kind of building towards a crescendo that day. Barry, you'll be heavily involved, and I'm sure it's been a bit of a stress being involved in the organising, if it's been over the 5 years. But from what Graham was telling me, it sounds like it's really coming together, and there will be relatives of one of the players that actually played in the first ever international there to share the story as well.
Yeah, it's coming together. It's taken a while to pull all the strings into the one place. But it's all getting quite exciting now. We're hoping the weather's going to do us a favour and be nice to us. There's kind of two aspects to it. We've got the pavilion side of things, which is that's kind of a sort of a media side of it. But the main part is to have just to have that commemoration to celebrate that event, the first international match ever. So there's going to be a few of us dotted about, so that if there's anybody doing the pilgrimage, we can chat to them and tell them a few stories to try and help them put in a wee bit more of the atmosphere.
So where does that day start? Is it at the West of Scotland Cricket Ground all day, or are you travelling from A to B?
Well, we're starting off at the bowling club. Is that right, Graham? In the morning, I think that we're meeting up with Joseph Taylor's relatives.
Joseph Taylor was the player who played in the game in 1872. His great grandchildren will be there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're getting a wee tour of the Hamdens in the morning early on, and then we'll head over to West of Scotland Cricket Club. And the actual point of celebration will be just after 2 o'clock, about 2:15, when the kickoff was delayed. Heavy crowds, I'm sure. I think was it 2,500 to 4,000 fans that came. And from there we'll have a wee celebration for that, and hopefully there'll be plenty of folk coming along. As well as it being the 150th anniversary of the first game, it's also the 150th birthday. So the Tartan Army's 150th birthday party. So there should be a few dotted about in kilts as well, myself included. So,
is that one invite only, or can you pay to attend or buy a ticket? How can people get involved?
That's just a walk up. There'll be a few of us there to make sure people go in the right direction, and make sure they know where the pitch was and all that kind of stuff. The pavilion part side of it is invite only, but the main thing is that folk can walk in and see where the first game happened.
And Graham, you're hoping that there can be quite a bit of media done around this as well, that you hope it's recognised by Scotland's various media outlets as the rightful cause for celebration as it is?
Yeah, so the ultimate mission was to make sure that this didn't just pass us by. Okay, it'd been dead easy for nothing to happen. You'd have had three or four people that maybe turn up and have a look at West over a gate and over the fence. The mission really was to tie up with West of Scotland Cricket Ground. So we did, again, through the cricket links that we forged, and we got in touch with West over the summer. In fact, we did that 2 years ago. Barry, we've been doing this for over 2 years to try and get in touch with West and say, look, you've got this big anniversary, let's make sure that it's all recognised. We did a lot of work with them over the summer. And then if you saw the 150th, the SFA's 150th plans, there was a little sentence in it to say, and we are supporting the 150th anniversary at the West of Scotland Cricket Ground.
Good.
Which was brilliant, because we got in touch, and this was our links again through Queen's Park. So, we've all the relationships we've built up, managed to forge all that together. And then the idea is to really make the most of the event. So again, where we're going to do West is if the pavilion sides, the media side, the other half of the ground, which is actually where the pitch was, there's a southern gate, the south gate, which will be open. We're going to put the boundary rope in so people can basically come in, take a photo, stand on the pitch. It's the middle of winter. It's going to be cold. It could be horizontal rain. Mm-hmm. Most people that want to come will just want to say, look, I stood on the ground on the 150th anniversary, and it's a Wednesday in the afternoon. So again, it won't suit most folks' diaries, but there'll be diehards. And really, for the Tartan Army, if they want to make that pilgrimage, that's what it's all about. Meanwhile, at the other end, the media side, and we've got a few things up our sleeve that we're trying to get off the ground, which will hopefully bring the media. And again, that's the links up with the SFA and West to actually do that. So we've done a whole bunch of work to do that. But the ultimate idea, though, Andy, is I know there's four events, but the first and second is to really get people going, I really need to come to the 30th. I've just been either at the 17th or the 24th. 6 days later, might want to make that effort. Sure. They'll either write about it, they'll speak to people about it, they'll send cameras, whatever they need to do. And the ultimate thing we're trying to do on the first half of the 30th is to make sure that the media pick it up and run with it.
So what time should people turn up at on the 30th if they're interested?
Yeah, so the South Gate will be open between 12:30 and 3:00. As Barry said, we've got the Westa team, so the Westa Tartan Army, they've got on board. They've got us high-vis jackets, which are brilliant. So there'll be a bunch of stewards, which were just basically shepherding people around and just saying, look, you know, do you know, we'll be handing out flyers, all that sort of stuff. And really just saying, look, come and learn the story, because you need to. Because you need to go home and tell people, which is the ultimate thing.
Well, that's in the afternoon, but later on the same day is the fourth and final event. Now, coming to you for this one, Fiona, this is the information I've got. It's a masterclass with a modern Scots professor and one of Scotland's greatest living footballing experts. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, so it is a masterclass with Rose Riley, who will be known, I'm sure, to many of your listeners. You know, she's a legend in the women's game in Scotland and internationally. And a couple of years ago, she was given an honorary degree from my institution, Glasgow Caledonian University. And so as part of that, Rose has agreed to come back and give a masterclass to our students, our alumni. And we've now paired up with them to make this part of Football 150 as well and open it to the public. So you can book tickets. It's free, but you need to book tickets through Eventbrite. So if you go into Eventbrite, look up GCU, Glasgow Caledonian University, or put in Rose Riley, it will pop up and you can book yourself a free ticket there. Rose will be answering questions about her career, how she got started, the highlights and so forth. And there's also an opportunity when you book your ticket, if you want to leave a question, and we'll select a few of those questions if there's time at the end to ask Rose on the night. So it's promising to be a very exciting evening, I think, with Rose. She's very entertaining and has a lot to say. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with her.
And you're hosting that event, are you?
I am. Yes, I am. I've done quite a lot of research into the history of women's football. So this is an absolute privilege to be able to talk to Rose in front of everyone and just share that platform with her. It's going to be great.
Brilliant. Right. Well, it sounds absolutely excellent, guys. 5 years in the making. I'm sure it won't disappoint. It sounds like there's something to cater for everybody here. And I really hope that the weather plays ball for you on the 30th at the West of Scotland Cricket Ground, where it all began 150 years ago. Can you believe it's finally culminating, Graham, all this hard work?
No. the 1st of December is going to be quite a No, look, and even we were talking earlier on, we were sitting at Clydesdale doing the run-through, because the first two events are going to be filmed by QTV, so Jack McGill's going to get them filmed, which is fantastic, and we're sitting going through it. And Richard just turned around and says, a year ago, Graham, do you think this would all be happening? And it's like, no. I mean, we did a Zoom version on the 30th of November last year, the year before, because of COVID. We couldn't do them in person, and this stuff's just supercharged. I mean, it is super, supercharged. And I think what's brilliant is we've got lots and lots of more people involved in it. And when you look at the three running orders for the first three events, and Rose is an event in herself, as GCU have done. So you literally have, back to your point, it caters for all. And the key thing to take away is Football 150 is not the end. So the 150th anniversaries that are coming up are off the charts. The 150th of the SFA, 150th of the Scottish Cup starting, 150th of the first Hampden opening, the 600th anniversary of the first time that football appears in law is in 2024. We've got all these crazy 150s. That's why we've turned up 150th, because we've got a decade of them. And by the end of that decade, everyone will know the Argentinian story.
and so we should, to be honest, really. It's shameful to be lectured on that by my Argentine flatmate rather than being the one that can spread it myself. So, yeah. Look, guys, it's been a really good chat. Thanks very much for lending your time. Big reminder to everyone that the event on the 30th is Walk Up. If you fancy it, if you can spare a few hours, if you want to, or even half an hour, if you're local, if you're able to come along on your lunch break just to spend some time with like-minded people and celebrate what is a great occasion. So Fiona, Barry, Graham, thanks very much for coming on, and keep fingers crossed that everything goes smoothly over the next few weeks.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Sports Social Podcast Network.